Please be seated, my friends. As we gather this Sunday and we celebrate the work of the Lord and those gone on before us and our lives as well, this All Saints Sunday, you don't have a worship outline today to take some notes in. I know many of you were asking for that. I'm glad that you find that helpful. We're going to do something different for us today. It's important that we as God's people have an opportunity to give thanks and celebrate the lives of those who have marked the mission and ministry of this congregation and of our lives for 251 years. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to list for you, it's going to be scrolling, it's going to be moving maybe every 8 or 10 seconds, all of those gone on before us in the life of Bethany congregation since records were kept. For instance, some dates unknown. And you're going to have a chance to see all of these people who have gone on before us in glory, but who worshiped and loved the Lord Jesus just like you and me. So you're going to have an opportunity to listen, but then also look for watch the names that are going on behind me as we celebrate All Saints Sunday. And of course, for 251 years, it's going to take a while for we who are gathered here to get to our loved ones that are listed there. By the way, if a name is omitted, please let me know. It's done accidentally. So if there's a name that needs to be up there, please let me know. But as you're reading these names and you're seeing in the various years those who have stepped into glory, and some of those families are even represented here today from this long and rich history of our congregation, what a stark contrast this is to where we live and move now. Because these people who confessed Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord, there with Him, standing before the throne, He who sits there before the Lamb, in all of the glory of eternity, these people are gathered around that throne in the same hope that's now theirs as we possess today. The same hope that means we'll be there with them again one day. A great contrast, it seems, for seeing them listed in glory, and here we are, not quite there yet. New creations, for sure, but not quite there yet. And I don't know if you knew it, but this week for us as a culture, and particularly as the church in the culture, not of it, but in it, was a week of great contrast. Did you catch that? Were you connected with it at all? We worked through a couple of days. One was called Reformation, October 31st, Reformation Day. And the next day, it was All Saints Day. But the world doesn't recognize, oftentimes, those designations. October 31st, we know as Halloween. And the next day, if you had a calendar from the secular world, was called the Day of the Dead. Great contrasts, right, to what we celebrate. The life of the church and the life of the saints before the Lord. Contrasts set apart between God's calling of His gospel and His good news and the world yet in which we live in that is dark and void of that good news. John today, in the reading from Revelation in chapter 7, speaks about this contrast and gives us an opportunity to join in this All Saints Day, this celebration, when we hear that gathered around the throne were all of those in white robes. They were holding palm branches. And they had a song on their lips. And that song was this: salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now that's a very different song that's sung in eternity than often is sung here in this world. Sometimes, I should say, we have a chance to join in that song, like we've done today, we're doing today. But the world sings a very different song, one that is gripped in death and the macabre, one that's gripped in spiritual darkness, one very different than us. Every once in a while, we get a little glimpse of that darkness in our lives. Every once in a while, we have an opportunity to be reminded we are engaged in spiritual warfare of the enemies of darkness that are against the Lord, his kingdom, our calling as his people. Innocently enough, I was walking down the street with my bride one day in a different city, different town, and we came across a little shop that we thought, ah, this would be kind of fun to poke around in. Let's look in there. And we did. As soon as I stepped over the threshold and walked into this shop, I could feel something embracing me. And it wasn't a good embrace. It was like a squeezing, or like the walls were closing in kind of sense. And as I walked further into the shop, I noticed then all of a sudden what it was about. While in the front windows were decorations like colorful candles and fall kind of decorations, what was in the shop was a very different kind of product they were selling. Things that would align you to spiritual darkness. Things that would help you connect with the dead. Things of the world and not of the kingdom of God. And as I walked into that store, I could tell that I was being embraced in something that was not good for me. And I could tell, too, that I was fighting hard here in this spiritual battle, engaged in that. We're called as God's people to be aware of this. While we have this great glimpse before us of the throne in heaven and our hope, our home there, and while we're focused on that, there's a calling of our lives that we need to be engaged here, now, because our enemy would seek to embrace us and have that those walls closed in so that we feel like we're trapped. And then there's no way out. And all we do is sink deeper and deeper into this darkness of sin and death and of the enemy's grips. There's a word for it that the Holy Spirit uses. It's the word thlipsis. And John talks about it when the elder is speaking with him. And the elder says, John, who are these who are gathered around the throne? And John says, I don't know. You do. Why don't you tell me? And the elder responds to John and says, these are they who have come out of the thlipsis. Thlipsis is not a time that we have to look forward to or is designated with any kind of human time. Thlipsis is that which we are embraced in because of sin and death and the devil. And so when the elder tells John, these are they who have come out of the thlipsis, these are they who have come out of their life but have known the victory. That's Christ Jesus. They've come out of the tribulation, this time that we live in, your life and mine. And the lives of these people listed before us, they have lived through the thlipsis as we're living through tribulation today. And the devil would like nothing more than to hem us in without any kind of escape and squeeze the life out of us. Then he would claim victory. But these, they've escaped. They've known victory. And they've been claimed in that victory by those, because these are the ones who have come out of the thlipsis. And as the elder goes on and says to John, because they've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Their robes are white and pure because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Why do I wear a robe on Sunday morning? It's not because this thing is comfortable. I'm not trying to make a fashion statement. I'm wearing it as a reminder to you that in Christ Jesus, you too have had your sins forgiven, and that a robe of righteousness is yours as well, white and pure and holy in Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior. That in the forgiveness of sins won for us, victory is yours and mine as well, friends. Washed in the blood of the Lamb and set apart in righteousness and holiness to be his people. Embraced in holiness and engaged in that holiness to be set apart as God's people. Death, the devil, the darkness of this world, That's all been defeated for us. It's behind us. It's no longer a part of us. What we are a part of is the kingdom whose name will be up there one day as well. And so I looked at Sue and I said, I got to get out of here, hon. This is not a good place for me to be, for us to be. Are you sensing anything? And she said, no, not really, but that's fine. If you are, let's go. And so we turned and left. As soon as I stepped over the threshold outside, that evil embrace was gone. That which was seeking to engage me in darkness and in a spiritual battle for my soul was gone. And I can only attribute that to the work of the Lord and his Holy Spirit, who kept me safe and guarded me while in that moment and brought me then to safety. Maybe you haven't had something so dramatic or unique like that. But friends, I think it's important for us to recognize a couple of things as we live in these days, until we're here in glory. That as we've been set apart with our sins forgiven and we are washed in the blood of the Lamb and we wear a robe of righteousness ourselves right now, there's a couple of things for us to wrestle with. One is, it's important for us to embrace the fact that while my home is in eternity, I'm not there yet. And in embracing that truth, in embracing that reality of the hope of faith that will one day be a hope realized, I need to be cognizant and aware of that which is seeking to embrace me in ways other than the kingdom. To be aware in my soul and my spirit, in my mind, to be thinking about this as I have conversations with others. One, to encourage them, but also to know where they're coming from, and maybe this is a conversation that I need to steer in another direction. To be aware of the battle that we're engaged in for our soul. That our soul, our life and our soul has been claimed in Christ Jesus, but there's somebody else who wants that. His name is the devil, and he wants our death and destruction. To embrace that reality is part of our calling as God's people walking in this life. And we have an opportunity to care for one another and encourage each other in this calling so that we stay true in the embrace of who we are as God's people, saints of the Lord. But there's another thing also that it seems we need to be aware of. And not only is it the embrace that we've been given in Christ Jesus in that battle, but then to engage in that battle. To purposefully engage in that battle. We wear an armor that's been given to us from the Lord our God. And we're prepared and dressed in this armor to stand victoriously. There's one piece of this armament that is a weapon of offense. I don't want to say aggression, because it's not meant to be aggressive, but we use it as an offensive tool. And that is the sword of the Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, guess where we really need to be and live each and every day? And in our thoughts and minds and in our words with one another, in the encouragement that we have with each other, but to be engaged in that word of the Lord in the Spirit. Let that word of the Lord guide and direct and lead us forward as we engage in this battle. And then to engage in this with prayer and supplication with one another and for each other. And to engage then in that which we recognize to stay away from. To put ourselves in a position purposely engaging in that which is our holy calling and not the ways of the world. In the culture of the world in which we live. There's some purposeful things that we may need to do, right? One of the things that we discussed on Monday night in our men's group, as we're talking about being a man of influence, and what does that mean to be a godly man of influence in our lives. One of the things that we talked about is wrestling with temptation. And how do we wrestle with temptation? A pastor friend of mine told me one time, when their family would get the Sunday newspaper. You can tell it's a little dated because maybe we don't do the Sunday newspaper anymore. But whenever they would get the Sunday newspaper, he would tell his wife, I want you to take the whole middle section of the paper away. I don't want to see it. I don't want to look at it. Just take it away. I'll look at the comics and the sports and the headlines and that, but not the middle section. Why? What's in the middle section? Slick, glossy ads of department stores selling underwear. And who's modeling that? But beautiful young women. And he said, I don't want to see that. Because if I see that, that's one of the ways in which the devil starts getting his claws in me and makes me start thinking about things that I shouldn't start thinking about. So move it from... He was engaging himself purposely to stay away from something that he knew was trouble for him. And whatever it is for us, whatever situation we find ourselves in that's troubling, how do we, in our calling, to engage out of that, to put it aside, get rid of it, not have anything to do with it, have our family member remove it from our presence. To be embraced and to be engaged in this calling that we've been given, this is who we are as God's people. Until one day, our names will be scrolling in the background of Bethany's pastor 50 years from now, 20 years from now, however many years from now. Names that reflect the glory of the Lord being made known and manifested in the one we call Jesus, Savior and Lord. And the one who's given us a living hope, and that hope is our reality around the throne. And as we live and move and have our being as the church, as we're embraced in our holy calling and engage in that calling, even in the world, we've got a song to sing. It's a similar song. It's the same song as those around the throne. Salvation belongs to our God, to Him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Amen.